Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And a hearty, healthy, happy, hilarious good afternoon to all of the wonderful thousands of metaphysically inclined, astrologically inclined people in Southern California who choose to spend their weekdays with Uncle Farley. Welcome to the two-hour expanded edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Yeah. Today's topic is called Heavy Traffic. We're not going to talk about cars here. With Jupiter and the Sun together in Taurus and Pluto in Scorpio, a lot of people are getting their charts set off right now. I notice a lot of people are going through a lot of hell. A lot of people are freaking out, in fact. So we're going to talk about when your chart is in a heavy transit, some of the things that people do when they are in pain, and what my suggested alternatives are as far as resolving problems and overcoming heavy transits. So whether you are in pain right now, or whether you're considering putting yourself through some kind of torture, what I consider pain is ill health. It seems like no matter what else is going on in my life, as far as I'm concerned, the best riches or the greatest wealth is good health. And as long as that part of my life is in sync, hey, I'm happy. I'm not dumb enough to think that life is going to be more miraculous beyond good health. If anything else happens, as far as I'm concerned, it's the cream on the cake. So I thank my mom for that philosophy because she's always adhered to that. And happy Mother's Day ahead of time, Beatrice. I bought my mom a nice big crystal for Mom's Day, so I have to give that over to her. And Melanie and I are going to take her out this weekend and party with moms. Okay, anyway, a lot of weird things going on, huh, with astrology. Can you believe the news? I saw the movie, The Man Who Saw the Future, actually narrated by Orson Welles. It was great fiction. You know, anybody that watches that movie and gets freaked out, I think you really need therapy. You know, all through the movie, especially Orson Welles at the end, I love it when he got into the prediction part. There's disclaimers all through that movie, The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, and I have no idea, whatever dumb person thought that the new city was L.A., I have no idea how they ever came to that. I will say this, after seeing the movie, and after reviewing the quatrains, and after reviewing some of the astrological predictions that Nostradamus has made, I will say this, I do believe that there is going to be an earthquake in the world somewhere. And I do think that if you want to try to figure out what a new city is, then let's consider some of the rebuilt cities that have been bombed since World War II. And, of course, that would include a whole bunch of cities. We could focus on Berlin, maybe on London. We could focus on Tokyo, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. These are all new cities. And then if you wanted to go beyond that, then I guess New York could also be called the new city, too, because it has new in the name. But I truly, and this is the last time I'm going to say this, because next time someone calls me up about an earthquake in Los Angeles, I'm going to just fool them and be sarcastic and say, okay, there's going to be a big quake tomorrow or tonight. Usually, I pride myself in the fact that we right here in the Astrology Hour have notified you in advance prior to any major quake that has affected California since we've been on the air. And we've been so right on this past year that we've even just pinpointed almost exact hour, exact minute as to when the quakes are going to hit. And I just don't see anything. And I really feel that Nostradamus was a nice man, and I believe in many ways he might have been more psychic than astrological. And I know a lot of psychics are coming out and trying to capitalize on a potential quake that would affect Los Angeles, but it's a crapshoot. Now, like I say, I did a story for Eye on LA, and it's going to be shown Thursday night at 7:30 on Channel 7. And they really tried to do everything they could to make me admit there's going to be a quake in LA in May. But what I really did was I tried to let them know that I felt that most of the quakes had already happened. I don't know what they're going to edit out and what they're going to edit in, because they could really just leave in the part where I did give a minor potential quake for May because of the Taurus-Scorpio oppositions, which are now over. And the next major aspect that would happen as far as affecting anything in this city would happen later on this month towards the end of the month, like last week. But like I keep saying, I don't really think there's going to be a quake in May in comparison to the quake we had last October. I may be wrong, you know, and of course Venus will be opposition Saturn and Uranus for much of this month, starting around the 17th of May. So if we do have a quake, it'll probably be on the 18th of May in the morning, around 7 o'clock. That would be the day that I would predict a quake for May, but I don't think it's going to be that big, if at all. And I just don't think the movie about Nostradamus is anything for people to take serious. That movie can scare the heck out of you, and the producers at the end had a major disclaimer that really said this is really basically for your entertainment, not to be taken seriously. One interesting thing I also saw in the news was that President Reagan, I believe, and Nancy came out and admitted that they have used astrologers in making their choices. And then a reporter from the Philadelphia Examiner called me this morning and took a story on that, which should be in the Philadelphia Examiner tomorrow, where I admitted that I was sought out to do a chart for Reagan by one of his aides right prior to his inauguration and warned of the assassination attempt. But one thing I didn't see that was clear was that someone said that Reagan used astrology to make his decision on signing the peace treaty with Gorbachev. Right. I'm sure some astrologer would say, Rod, I think you should sign this during a void course moon. Because I don't know if you're aware, but there was a void course moon all day, the day that they signed that the nuclear ban treaty, which sort of puts a hex on that puppy. So, you know, you hear a lot of things in the news. And I do believe that a lot of rich, famous people, including many, many politicians, do secretly use astrologers and psychics. And because there's an oath of confidence among us, we don't talk about it. And it's too bad that we don't. We don't really publicize it more, because I think it would take astrology out of the closet and put it on the street, where it belongs, in the schools, and actually in among the population. Now, what about this heavy traffic? Well, heavy traffic can be defined in many ways. You can call it heavy transits. You can call it chart on fire. A lot of times when you look at your life, and your life is in a state where you wake up in the morning and you do have lots of aches and pains, sometimes chronic disorders or even serious disorders in your health, your attitude is mixed, your mood is down, you are depressed, and you seem to be riding the quest of this negative wave. Many times, most astrologers, of course, can find in the chart significant aspects that would reflect why a person's life may seem to be down. I myself have had a pretty tough week. No real reason for it, just little chronic things here and there, little mood swings and such, and some depression affecting me, and my chart has been severely lit up, incredibly so. So I guess I'm in heavy traffic right now. But you know, the problem is that when people are experiencing a heavy traffic transit, where their life does seem to be in tremendous turmoil and depression and disarray and they're having lots of health problems, usually they make the wrong choices as far as viable alternatives, as far as pulling out goes, is concerned. Like I kind of picture a guy in a plane or a woman in a plane flying, and they go into a tailspin, they go into a dive. But instead of pulling out of the dive, the things they do just either turn the engine off and make the dive worse, and they're just headed for a crash. And a lot of times in life, when you do have these heavy transits, you are being given warning signs or warning symptoms, especially with chronic health problems. Sometimes you're having a health problem. Maybe it means you should stop eating meat, cut down on the meat, cut down on the salt, cut down on the sugar, start exercising a little more, meditate. People don't do that. They stay with their routine. More coffee, more sugar, more meat. You know, and they keep compounding all these things. No wonder they can create a cancer in their body or a heart problem, because they keep compounding it. People are under heavy stress situations, and they find themselves freaking out. They're having nightmares. They're having the chills, the shakes. Their bones are aching. Their joints are aching. Their parts of their body are in pain. And they're obviously being told to stop it, to cut the routine, and to cool it, to cool down, to calm down, and to halt the procedures, take a vacation, even if it's a day or two, take a rest, and slash that routine. Stop it. Stop the pattern. But they won't do it. There are so many people out there that are actually fueled by heavy Aries in their chart, sometimes heavy Scorpio, you know, it's like stubborn, heavy Leo in their chart. They could have Taurus in their chart. Maybe they're just workaholics. They're soldiers that won't leave the post. Virgo, Capricorn, Taurus planets in your chart. And you just won't leave that post. Right now, the type of transits we're experiencing, especially those of you with Pluto in Leo, right? You're already having a Pluto square Pluto, or you've just had one, right? And you know who you are. People born in the 40s and the early 50s, massive generation of you that are in your 30s and 40s age bracket, are going through this midlife crisis transit. But to boot, now Jupiter is also in Taurus, and from Taurus it is square your Pluto in Leo. And if you happen to have other Leo planets like I do, or perhaps a Scorpio planet or Taurus planets or Aquarius planets in your chart. Right now, T-squares and grand squares are being set up. So your ego is being tested, and your selfishness is being tested, and your power and your competitive urge is being tested. A lot of questions are being asked unto yourself. How much do I want? What do I need to make me happy? How much do I need to make me happy before I can say, stop, hold it, wait a minute, calm down, release this obsession for a second? With Jupiter in Taurus and with Pluto in Scorpio, a lot of us from the Plutonian generation in Leo are going through a major, major transit this month. And, you know, just to mention also that the Mercury just got out of Taurus, right? And the Sun's in Taurus with Jupiter. So a lot of us with Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, Taurus planets are being whacked. And this is a heavy traffic transit because, frankly, people that have the Leo, Scorpio, Taurus, and Aquarius planets are the leaders of this world, the managers, the supervisors, the presidents, the kings. Reagan's an Aquarius. Gorbachev has a Leo moon. These guys are having a transit just like the rest of you are. And, you know, frankly, if there was going to be a problem in the stock market, it would happen this month. That's right. Because a lot of the people involved in big corporate management may be making some bogus decisions right now. They may need a break, and they may need somebody else to take over. They could be making some bogus decisions, and if there was going to be another crash, I'd hate to be somebody that would prophesy this. Watch the market break in the next 48 hours, right? But on approach to May 17th, we could see another stock market crash, considering some of the transits that are going on right now. So there's all kinds of weird problems going on, but, you know, I think that people are headed to the wrong areas as far as trying to resolve these problems. People are making the wrong choices. They are creating wrong alternatives. So as part of this topic today, heavy traffic, I am going to give you my personal solution. Not that I know the answer to everything, but I'm going to give you that my personal solution as to how I personally handle heavy traffic transits. Now also, I want to make it clear, one major thing, that because we are in a karma hot period right now, at the end of the age of Pisces, beginning of the age of Aquarius, which is what's going on right now, we're going through a major birth situation for this planet. And because we are involved in a heavy period, not everybody is able to take vacation or take a break. Not everybody is able to take that rest or halt that pattern that we've discussed. So I am going to give you some tips and some suggestions and hopefully offer some resolution as to how you may be able to pull out of a heavy traffic transit without going into that spin out and crash that we were talking about from the plane. So you want to hang in there to hear this resolution. Yeah, we're talking about heavy traffic today, and I have come to some personal resolutions. Everybody has their own personal way to worship God. It's like everybody has their own little personal way they have sex, and everybody has their own personal way that they like to build a house or what kind of car to drive. Everybody has their own individual technique. That's why there are so many religions. It's like multiple choice. So which way do you want to believe in God? You want to believe in Buddha? You want to believe in Allah? You want to believe in Ram? Would you like to believe in Jesus or Moses or Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob? Which is your choice? Well, along those lines, when you finally developed a philosophy that adheres to your own personal power, then that's the one I think you should stick to. A lot of people forget, or they don't pay attention to, or they neglect the power that lies in prayer. But I'm going to define for you what happens when you do pray and why prayer is so powerful. Because a lot of times when people are involved in these heavy traffic transits, they neglect the power of prayer to help supplement their aura and their light and their health and their life, because the power of prayer sometimes could be the only thing, in my opinion, that could really pull you out of a heavy traffic transit. Even if you take a vacation, a lot of times you don't resolve or absolve the problems that you may create that you could absolve through prayer. That is why a lot of people meditate. A lot of people meditate as their own personal way to have an intimate relationship with the God self. Now, what I have discovered along my road of metaphysical studies and research, that I am part and participle of the God force, as you all are. In fact, we are all like terminals of God. And even in our current states, even though we might not all feel or relate to the oneness, universality that we all share in this universe, this oneness of God, it is important that somehow in your path that you research this philosophy, this theory. And in case you should discover this in your meditation and prayer, then that may also help supplement your life. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. The purpose to meditation, and a lot of you that are meditating out there that are not getting results, I don't believe you're meditating and using the right attitude. Because when I meditate, perfect attitude that I have, basically, the reason why I go into a trance is because I am trying to plug into my God self. And I will supplement my meditations by using mantras like, I am God, I know I'm God, I am God, I know I am God. Some people may want to use something like, Jesus, come to me, or come to me, Jesus, or I take Moses, I take God, I take Buddha into my heart, whichever master, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Like I say, there's an individual technique depending on your own personal identification and definition of God as far as how the power of prayer would work. But you know what prayer really is? When you sit down and you pray for guidance and you talk to God like it's outside of you, and I can't blame you. If you pray to God like God is outside of you, that is because it is hard for a lot of us to feel the God force inside of ourselves. So a lot of times we create this illusion that God is outside of us, and that is how we pull God towards us and pull it back into ourselves. And by praying to God, no matter which way you may define the God force or the God self or the messianic mind, what you are really doing is you are plugging into that power. And what better way to heal yourself and overcome any transit? The whole basis to me knowing about astrology and the whole truth, and there is always further truth in my opinion, but my personal truth at this time right now as to why I am into astrology is because I want to become a master of understanding this separation. Because in my opinion, the only way to overcome the separation and the illusion of separation and distinct uniqueness that we all share is to master the illusion. And then once you have mastered it, you can overcome it. That's what astrology is all about. Astrology as a science is like the God mechanics as to how God divides itself and separates itself into this dimension of uniqueness. Astrology, with the stars, the planets, the sun and the moon and the whole universe involved, being the design or the engine that is used to design this uniqueness. So by trying to master astrology and this illusion of separation, I am trying to master this illusion of uniqueness so I can overcome it. And that is why when you're having a heavy traffic transit, when you're having a chart on fire, when you're feeling like dirt, when you ache all over, of course it might be a good idea to take some vitamin supplements. It may be a good idea to exercise a little bit on a doctor's approval. But meditation and prayer, in my opinion, are the number one best ways not only to absolve karma, but to center yourself, to balance yourself, and to help overcome this illusion of separation and plug into the God self, which is you, the spirit. Replace the priority of spirit, which is so important that it can help you overcome some of your materialistic obsessions that are not really real, that are holding you down and making you feel so bad. Because that's what disease is. Disease is an imbalance that is created from burning out, from using up too much energy, from being obsessed, and from not placing enough emphasis on the temple of your soul, your body, and the spirit which resides within. So it is very important that when you're having a heavy traffic transit, if you don't have time to take a vacation, when you come home at night, when you find a quiet moment, maybe you want to light a candle. Maybe you want to get down on your knees and close your hands together and put your head on those hands. Maybe you want to talk out loud to the God within and without, beyond, omniscient, omnipresent, omnificent, that exists, this God force, and plug into it. Imagine yourself being an electrical instrument with the plug out of the circuit. And take that plug and plug it back into the circuit by using the power of prayer, which is specifically the power of mind, and which is defined precisely as the power of God. And reaffirm your oneness with God, your godness, your holiness, and your sacred parts, because you as a God entity are a sacred being, and you as a God entity have more power than you have ever imagined. I cannot define to you in human terms the power that a human being bestows upon themselves and everything they touch, they see, they feel. And when I meditate, and when I pray, when I believe, I plug into that God force. And no matter what transit you're having, you know, no matter what problem you might be having in your life, even if you're dying of AIDS and you're a hopeless drug addict, I firmly believe that if you reaffirm your God self, and if you believe enough, if your willpower is strong enough to take that plug that's been dangling and plug it into the God circuit, then you can overcome any transit, any problem, any crisis, or any illness, in my opinion. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not guaranteeing anything here, but I'm saying that this is what works for me. And sometimes putting a cross up in your apartment or your house, or putting a Star of David up, or opening a Bible, if these are symbols that help reaffirm your God self, do it. Why take down this stuff? If wearing a cross or wearing a mezuzah
or chanting Nam-myoho-renge-kyo if you're Zen Buddhist, or Hare Krishna, if these are things that work for you, that reaffirm your God self and plug you back into the God circuit, then do it. Don't overshadow this stuff as minor, as light. To me, the most important thing in life is the oneness that we share. The whole test, the whole lesson, is the basic truth, in my opinion, that all there is one. And we are down here tested, feeling so alone, so separate, so far removed from this oneness, that that's why we're hurting. Don't you see it? The farther away you drift from the light, the more pain you experience. And the closer you come to the light, the more power you have, the power to heal not only yourself but others, and the less pain. It's totally gestalt, isn't it? God is like this entity that has this cage, and we're like the rat. And we do the wrong thing, we get hurt. We do the right thing, we feel better. But along your quest for money and power and sex and lust and drugs and alcohol and real estate and whatever you want, while you're in your mad quest and you're having these heavy transits, take a moment to light a candle and say a prayer and meditate every day and reaffirm this God spark within you. Plug into the power and heal yourself. Use these affirmations. Say things like, I am God. I am power. I have power. I am healthy. I am strong. I will survive. I will succeed. I'm okay. My life is good. Everything is fine. I love God. I love the universe. I love this planet. I love this people, and it shall be healed. So be it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's so easy, and it's just right there within our reach. All we have to do is grab it. It's like a dangling apple on a tree that's right within our reach. You know, sometimes I'm selfish because I do these topics because I need to hear them. This topic was specifically laid down to me in the car on the way to the show about 5 minutes before I went on the air. I didn't want to do this topic. I said to myself, what do you mean heavy traffic? Sometimes all I get is two words before the show, heavy traffic. Then I was trying to write a few words down before I went on the air. Marilyn said, you're on. I said, great, I'm not even prepared to do this topic. This is the type of topic I need to hear because I'm having a heavy transit. And I've been praying and meditating a lot lately. Sometimes when you pray and meditate and you plug into that power, then you're allowed to discharge some of the stress through crying, through laughing, through shaking, whatever. The poison accumulates in your body. You need to dump it. You need to get into eradication here and get rid of it. Because if you let it compound, there'll just be more pain. And I'm going to listen to this show over and over again until I let it sink into my own head. That way I can pray to God and reaffirm my own God self, my own God spark, like I hope each and every one of you do, too. Trippy show, huh? Now we can go to the phones, and let's talk to a birthday Taurus, Sherry, who is a Libra rising. How are you?
Hi, fine. Your program is great today because I feel like I've been in traffic gridlock for 3 months.
That's funny. The other day, I saw this lady in the middle of the street, and here I am. I try to meditate on I am spiritual when I'm driving, you know, but when you're driving in L.A., it's like, right, you know, who's spiritual? I'm sitting there yelling at the lady, that's gridlock. That's a $500 ticket. Get the heck out of the way, you know?
Well, I've been emotionally gridlocked for 3 weeks.
Okay, I'm glad it helped. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. So I was wondering, what do you see? Is this going to, like, change? Am I going to get out of traffic and into clean flow here?
Well, I don't know. And do you want to know what your 29 Libra rising means instead of this question, or would you rather me look at your chart?
I guess I'd rather you look at my chart. I can always find out the other later. I know it's significant. I missed it last week when you were talking about it, and you had talked about 29 degree, but I can get that another time.
Well, you know,
whatever you think is best.
Well, you know, you have Mars in Taurus, and you qualify as a person with Pluto in Leo and Mars in Taurus, as a person that's been subjected by these heavy transits that I've been talking about, people with Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and Scorpio in their charts.
Mm-hmm.
So this topic was for you. I mean, I couldn't explain this call any better than just the topic.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And part of it has to do with relationships, too, and trying to hang on or grab on to something you just can't have. Relationships are there for you, but they're just not perfect. And that could upset you a little bit, because as a Taurus with Mars in Taurus, you're pretty powerful. If you don't get your way, you might scream a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Anna is a Gemini with Cancer rising. Hello.
Hi, Farley. How's it going?
Real good. Thank you for calling.
Pretty good topic.
Pretty good. Not great, just pretty good.
No, it was a good topic.
Okay.
You're so right about, like, my husband and I, when we start getting sick now, anything, you know, because you have these habits from childhood that you just, you know, like if your neck's in a draft, you know, you're getting a cold. And so you think all these things. So when we start getting sick, we just affirm that we're not getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, works like a charm every time.
Well, you know, the sad thing about life is that you find people turning finally back to their God self when they're either in danger, near death, like the executed criminal, right? The guy that's walking down the aisle, he says, they go, oh God, the guy that's about to be hung. Oh God. You find people turning to it at times when it's really wrong. When I think you should thank the God force for not only the good times, but when the bad times come, that way you will already have a supplement already plugged in.
Yeah, I agree.
That way you can somehow prevent it and overcome. And when you are more spiritual and godlike, then sometimes you can make the better choices and you can talk to your higher self and get better advice because you are more spiritually connected.
Right, okay.
Okay.
I want to know what I'm 1 degree Cancer rising.
Well, there's one I haven't heard yet. Okay, yeah. And one Cancer, the essence vibration of a one Cancer, which is the I am point in your chart for the rising, the need to turn decisions into actions, the feeling of heavy responsibility for actions, the higher consciousness finally accepts the challenge. Okay? That's you.
That's right on.
Okay, babe.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Line 4 has Kathleen A. Virgo. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
All right. Okay, what can we do for you, hon?
Yeah, I've been having a lot of trouble lately, and I was just wondering if what's going on, you know?
What's the matter?
I've just been having a lot of trouble every way you can imagine.
Have you been praying?
Lately I started to.
Hey, isn't that funny? When we get in trouble, we finally turn to prayer. Yeah, you're pretty sensitive. As a Virgo, I believe you have a Cancer moon. Do you know what time of day you were born?
2:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, you probably have a Cancer moon. So emotionally, you've probably been having some problems. Have you been having problems with your mom?
Sort of.
Sort of, okay. Also, you're a very powerful lady. Even though you're a Virgo, you have Jupiter in Leo, and you have Mars and Neptune in Scorpio. Sometimes do you get mad if you don't get your way?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you should be more of a student instead of trying to be a director. And even though other people may make wrong decisions and wrong choices, it might be best to let them see how the results will pan out and let them learn from that way instead of you trying to push them one way or the other. I think a key for you now is to make some money, which you are showing some money coming in, and money will be a source of freedom for you, so you can claim some independence, get your own apartment probably one day, and that way be more in control of your life, which is really what you're headed for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go back to the phones and talk to Kathy now. Line 5, Taurus, Leo rising. Hi, Kath.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Very good topic. I was wondering if you could just tell me a little bit about my chart. I have a grand trine, I think.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you proud of that?
Well, I'm trying to learn what it means more.
It means you could be pretty lazy.
Well.
People with grand trines sometimes are like gift horses.
Uh-huh.
They get lots of freebies. And if they don't do something with their gifts, they can waste. They can waste parts of their lives. Where's your grand trine at? What sign?
It's my moon trines Neptune, and it trines my Venus.
Oh, wow. Did someone give you some money?
No.
Have you ever gotten money easy?
Well, I've never really had to work.
There you go.
But, I mean, my life isn't, you know, luxurious or anything.
Well, you still seem to have some kind of wild card that supports you, though, huh?
Yeah, my husband, he's always worked and provided, you know, enough to where I've never really had to.
Usually grand trines are aspects in people's charts where they get things easier than the rest of us, and that's why they can be lazy.
Uh-huh.
A grand trine person can blow their grand trine dharma by being lazy. If you do something with your life, because with a grand trine in the air, you are showing the potential of being an excellent teacher, counselor, psychologist, therapist, astrologer, and you probably are an unofficial therapist anyway to most of the people you know. They probably call you up for help all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to do something with that grand trine, then maybe you can develop a career where you can actually help some of these struggling people that need your help. You can even charge them for it. Okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Okay, let's go to Diane now, a Leo with Libra rising like Farley. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Farley. Great topic.
All right.
You seem to find, you provide the keys that open up my doors.
Wow, I got a major chill on my back on that one. We're talking major. This friend of mine, whenever she talks, she's always going, well, this is a major experience. We're talking major karma. I was just thinking, maybe it's colonel or general karma. So what can we do for you, Di?
Oh, I just mainly wanted to thank you for being there for us.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God bless you.
And God bless you.
Thank you, sweetie. I love you.
I love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right. That was a Dharma call. Yeah, we need Dharma once in a while. Let's go to Beverly now. Virgo, Capricorn, Rising. Hi, Bev.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I've been having a lot of marital problems.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get married. We find this when you get married, you know. Suddenly God says, aha, it's not as easy as you thought it was, huh?
No.
Well, how long have you been married?
17 years.
Well, you see, the problem is that when people are married and they turn 30 or 40, they either go through a Saturn return. You might have noticed when you turn 30, you might have had a little mountain to climb there in the marriage.
No, then it was pretty good.
Okay, but now you're turning 40. It seems like you're going through all these emotional changes. You may be a bit more vulnerable. You might take things a bit more personal.
Yeah.
And you might be claiming a little bit more space and a need for more power. You might be tired of maybe taking orders or, it's like Sam Kennison says, I'm tired of sharing anything with you at all for any reason, you know. After a while, you get kind of burned out on it. But you have had an intense transit this last few years. Pluto square your Mars in Leo. Wow, this has been something that's been building, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I have my Moon, my Pluto, and my Mars all in Leo, and I have my Venus in Scorpio.
Is your Capricorn rising early? Is it like real?
5 degrees.
Aha. Uh-huh. So basically,
the Moon and Pluto and Mars are all in my seventh house, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So your buzzard's being rung real here. Do you feel like this is a chapter that is closing in your life?
Well, yeah, I do. My husband left me about 4.5 months ago and moved in with a woman who is a Scorpio.
Sounds like someone's sending you a major telegram here.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Has the divorce proceeding started yet?
No, not yet.
Are you scared to do it?
Yeah.
But I do think that, frankly, when you're married and when one of the mates has chosen another mate, it's almost like animals and territories. You know, when one lion leaves the female and goes to another lion, that other lion either gets really ticked off and goes and kills both of them or just runs off and does something else. Well, you know, of course, the latter. You don't want to go ahead and hurt anybody,
no,
but
no.
You're too wonderful a being in spirit to, I think, to put up with something like this. So it's your choice, but frankly, if you're looking for resolution and for him to come running back to your arms...
No, I don't think I'm really looking for that now. I guess I was trying to figure it out, too, because he's an Aquarius with Leo rising, and he's with a woman who's a Scorpio and has, you know, her sun plus 3 planets in Scorpio, and I'm wondering how in the heck they get along.
There's no sense in trying to figure it out. What you have to do now is preserve yourself and protect yourself.
Right.
You're having these heavy Pluto transits to your seventh house planets, which require major transition, transformation, metamorphosis, and reconstruction along the lines of commitment, partners, and marriage. So what's probably needed here, in my opinion, is a major process. Major process, you know, like, adios amigos is what you say.
I need to cut it off. I'm also having my moon transiting Aquarius, which is opposing my natal moon.
So welcome to heavy traffic in this topic, right?
I feel like I'm just being bombarded day after day.
Yeah. And well, have you been crying and praying?
I've been doing a lot of that, and I've been carrying crystals. And I've been reading Dr. Bernie Siegel's Love, Medicine, and Miracles.
The problem is...
I've been listening to Louise Hay has a tape.
She's good.
Very good meditation tape.
You women with Mars and Leo have a little problem because it's real hard for you to accept the facts. It's like pride gets in the way and dignity gets in the way.
Yeah.
And you don't like to accept the fact that someone is actually rejecting you or leaving you or not there anymore. So sometimes it can take years for women with Mars and Leo to let go, and some of them, frankly, never do.
Yeah.
So good luck, okay?
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to John now, a Sag with Leo rising. Yo, John.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad. My question deals with the house systems.
Okay.
Now, I was raised in the equal house system.
All right. Let's hear it for John, then. You got the best system.
I guess somebody threw the Placidus system and the Koch system at me the other day.
Yeah.
And what little I know about astrology, I learned in the Red Flame. I think you're familiar with it.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, you went through the Red Flame. You didn't go through in the 70s, did you?
No, this was last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I went through in the 76.
Oh, great.
Now I think I'm in the Magenta Flame.
Magenta.
The deal with Equal House Astrology is like an intuitive astrology. Because Dana laid that down, of course.
Right.
But Equal House supposedly was the predominant house system used during the entire history of Atlantis.
Mm.
And they were a very highly evolved civilization, being a very intuitive civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And I find Equal House works as far as the success to this show, because by knowing a person's rising sign, like you're Leo 6,
mm-hmm.
so right away I can immediately put into focus that your midheaven is Taurus 6 and your descendant is Aquarius 6, and I can see the cusp of all your 12 houses. So looking at a chart in the mind's eye with an equal house astrology system is very simple. Whereas, as you know, it's downright impossible to look at a house system in the mind's eye with Koch or Placidus, yeah, because every cusp is different, every midheaven is different, yeah, every descendant is different. But, you know, there are those people that swear to Koch and Placidus. That's why we do them. If people request Koch and Placidus, we do them for all of our charts. But I'm an equal house astrologer, so I teach that unless someone requests something else, because I found it to be by far and above the one that works best for me. Although I do respect Koch and Placidus, too.
They got me really confused, because all of a sudden my Sun went into my fourth house, and my Saturn went into my fourth house, and it just threw my whole chart into a whole new ballgame.
Okay, well, this is the way you should use them. In my opinion, what I do is I respect equal houses the best, but I use my other planetary placements in other houses with other house systems in supplemental understanding, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, I don't reject any of them. I just embrace my equal house chart the best, and I will adhere to my Saturn in the 10th instead of the 11th, and my Jupiter in the 3rd instead of the 2nd,
right,
in both Koch and Placidus. And I say, well, maybe Jupiter in the 3rd is the teacher side to me, and Saturn in the 10th is the problem I've had with my career.
Uh-huh.
So what I do is I embrace all house systems at the same time.
Great.
And that way, you're not being prejudiced. You're being totally open-minded, and then God looks down and says, okay, Farley, you're being cool about this dude. Okay, Johnny?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Well, thanks for calling, Guy.
Thank you for being there. It was.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I would like to thank all of you that support and get involved in the Astrology Hour radio program. We'll see you real soon, weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM at 12 noon. Have a nice day, and I love you. Bye.